Town Like Alice by Neville Shute. Read by Robin Bailey. Chapter 1. James McFadden died in March 1905 when he was 47 years old. He was riding in the Driffield Point to Point. He left the bulk of his money to his son, Douglas. The McFaddens and the Dalhousies at that time lived in Perth, and Douglas was a school friend of Jock Dalhousie, who was a young man then and had gone to London to become junior partner in a firm of solicitors in Chancery Lane, Owen, Dalhousie and Peters. I am now the senior partner, and Owen and Dalhousie and Peters have been dead for many years, but I never changed the name of the firm. It was natural that Douglas McFadden should put his affairs into the hands of Jock Dalhousie, and Mr. Dalhousie handled them personally till he died in 1928. In splitting up the work, I took Mr. McFadden onto my list of clients and forgot about him in the pressure of other matters. It was not until 1935 that any business for him came up. I had a letter from him then from an address in Ayr. He said that his brother-in-law, Arthur Paget, had been killed in a motor car accident in Malaya, and so he wanted to redraft his will to make a trust in favour of his sister Jean and her two children. I'm sorry to say that I was so ignorant of this client that I didn't even know he was unmarried and had no issue of his own. He finished up by saying that he was too unwell to travel down to London, and he suggested that perhaps a junior member of the firm might be sent up to see him and arrange the matter. This fitted in with my arrangements fairly well, because when I got this letter, I was just leaving for a fortnight's fishing holiday on Loch Shiel. I wrote and told him that I would visit him on my way south, and I put the file concerning his affairs in the bottom of my suitcase to study one evening during my vacation. When I got to Ayr, I took a room at the Station Hotel, because in our correspondence there had been no suggestion that he could put me up. I changed out of my plus fours into a dark business suit and went to call on my client. He didn't live at all in the manner I'd expected. I didn't know much about his estate, except that it was probably well over £20,000, and I'd expected to find my client living in a house with a servant or two. Instead, I discovered that he had a bedroom and a sitting room on the same floor of a small private hotel just off the seafront. He was evidently leading the life of an invalid, though he was hardly more than 50 years old at that time, 10 years younger than I was myself. He was as frail as an old lady of 80. And he had a peculiar grey look about him which didn't look at all good to me. All the windows of his sitting room were shut, and after the clean air of the lochs and moors, I found his room stuffy and close. He had a number of budgerigars in cages in the window, and the smell of these birds made the room very unpleasant. It was clear from the furnishings that he'd lived in that hotel and in that room for a good many years.